Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Firm Foundation and Happy New Year to you all. This morning, we're going to begin a new two-part sermon series taken from the book of Lamentations. And I'm going to be working out of Lamentations chapter 1, verse 18. And it reads, "The Lord is righteous, for I rebelled against his commandment. Hear now, all peoples, and behold my sorrow." By way of introductions, Lamentation is considered the saddest book in the Bible. It is known as the Book of Tears, and the main theme of this book involves God's response to the nationwide sins of the kingdom of Judah. The author of this book is Jeremiah. He is also author of the Book of Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. In both books that Jeremiah wrote, the focus is on the judgment and destruction of Jerusalem. In the book of Jeremiah, he prophesied about the coming destruction about 40 years prior to when it happened in 586 BC. He also witnessed the destruction firsthand. And in the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah looks back on that event. Jeremiah was in a line with many prophets that hundreds of years foresaw this coming destruction. And Jeremiah's role as God's spokesman was to warn his people, to turn from their wicked ways and turn back to God. Now, to put this in context, this is what God said to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 14 through 17 reads, "Out of the north calamity shall break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord. They shall come, and each one set up his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls all around, and against the cities of Judah. I will utter my judgments against them concerning all their wickedness, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshiped the works of their own hands. Therefore, prepare yourself and arise and speak to them all that I command you." Sadly, Jeremiah's ministry didn't turn out to be too receptive from his own people. Instead, Jeremiah was treated unfairly. He was threatened. He was humiliated. His own family turned their back on him. Jeremiah told the Lord, "Everyone mocks me." Plus, Jeremiah was struggling himself emotionally with the future destruction of Jerusalem. So if we apply this to ourselves, how do you feel emotionally when your loved ones reject the gospel? It should be very disheartening. However, do not give up. Continue watering the seed, despite if your ministry isn't being too receptive. Continue spreading the word. See, Jeremiah didn't give up, and neither should we. Jeremiah wrote Lamentations as a funeral song for this great city, a way to acknowledge grief, a way to honor the people and also honor God. But more importantly, Jeremiah lamented because his people did not remain faithful to the Lord. They didn't remain faithful to the covenant that God made with them. And Jesus lamented over the city the same way. Let me take it to that scripture verse. It's in Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 through 39. It's not in your bulletin, but I just, as I continue to go over my sermon, I find new things and I just insert them. So this is the way Jesus lamented over Jerusalem. He said, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. See, once you see someone say something twice, it kind of intends that, it indicates that there's a strong emotion when he's saying it. So, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks among her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You see, Jerusalem is referred to as the city of peace. It's the capital city of God's own people. It serves as a symbol between God and his covenant with the Israelites. Because remember, early on in the Bible, God brought his people out of the bondage of slavery from Egypt. And not only did he do that, he raised them into a great nation. Yet, after hundreds of years of calling his people to repent, they continued to fail to do so. So God's justice, it came in the form of a Babylonian invasion. And Lamentations provides a detailed picture for the reader to see this. Again, this is an extremely sad time for this city as a result of the nation's sinful disobedience towards God. In the end, God, he released his divine protection. So today's focus will be on Jeremiah's example of crying out to God to lament. And the first application is, the Lord is righteous. See, lamenting is a way God gave us to process emotion. Lamenting is showing a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. And Jeremiah, he lamented. He cried out to God. In chapter 1, Jeremiah describes the fallen city of Jerusalem likened to a widow. And I want to take you to that. I want to begin reading chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. It reads, how lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow is she, who is great among her nations. The princess among the provinces has become a slave. She weeps bitterly in the night. Her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has no one to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone into captivity under affliction and hard servitude. She dwells among the nations. She finds no rest. All her persecutors overtake her in dire straits. The roads to Zion mourn because no one comes to the set feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Her adversaries have become the master. Her enemies prosper, for the Lord has afflicted her because of the multitude of her transgressions. Her children have gone into captivity before the enemy. And the daughter of Zion, all her splendor has departed. Her princes have become like deer that find no pasture, that flee without strength before the pursuer. So here we see Jerusalem's hardship. She is lonely. No one to comfort her. Her friends have betrayed her. Now they're like enemies. She has no peace, no rest. She's powerless, and she's also bitter. All of this as a result of its own transgressions. Lamentations 1:14 through 18 read, the yoke of my transgressions was bound. They were woven together by his hands and thrust upon my neck. They made my strength fail. The Lord delivered me into the hands of those who whom I am not able to withstand. The Lord has trampled underfoot all my mighty men in my midst, and has called an assembly against me to crush my young men. The Lord trampled as in a winepress the virgin daughter of Judah. For these things I weep. My eye overflows with water, because the Comforter who should restore my life is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. Zion spreads out her hands, but no one comforts her. The Lord has commanded concerning Jacob that those around her become his adversaries. Jerusalem has become an unclean thing among them. The Lord is righteous, for I rebelled against his commandment. Hear now, all peoples, and behold my sorrow. You see, grief can come in many forms and come from many ways. In this case, Jeremiah, he's intercessing for God's people. Yes, everything that has happened is a result of sin, thus allowing God to cause this devastation, to allow this devastation to happen. But Jeremiah, he continues to lament in a way for the Lord to take this case into consideration. And by doing so, Jeremiah's laments, they become like an act of surrender, an act of trust. And that's regardless of the outcome, good or bad. You see, I've witnessed this firsthand from among our church family during their valleys. And Jeremiah states, the Lord is righteous. He is holy. God does what is right, even if it means turning away from his own people and become the judge. Romans 2:11 reads, for there is no partiality with God. Deuteronomy 32:4 reads that he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth, and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Jerusalem, they did not heed God's commandments. Friends, what happens when we don't heed God's words? We are inviting God's divine discipline to take shape in our lives in one way, shape, or another. And again, it's a result of our own sinful choices, our own disobedience to God. But regardless of the results in our lives, good or bad, remember, God is faithful. Now, believers, we will always have Jesus. Again, he will not leave us nor forsake us. And things may not always turn our way like the way we want them, like 2020, or for whatever plan that we have for ourselves. But remember, God, he is faithful. God is still with us during the good times and the bad times. Let us not put our faith in the changing of a calendar year, because we don't know what this year will bring. Just like we didn't know what 2020 would bring us. We need to praise God for every new day that we get. Friends, God will make something good come out of the bad. You know, look at the example of the Apostle Paul. You know, before he came to Christ, he was the number one persecutor of Christians. His hand was involved in the death of many Christians, including the disciple Stephen. Yet God turned his life around for the good of many, including you and I. And when Paul pleaded with the Lord to remove some kind of pain from his body, a so-called thorn in his flesh, God chose not to. 2 Corinthians 12:9, he reads, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Again, during those dark times or when things just don't go our way, remember, God's love is everlasting. And if we apply this to ourselves, again, this last year, living through a pandemic, yes, it made things more challenging and it made things more difficult. And life hasn't been normal. Now, a lot of people just stopped living, decided to stay home. Others decided not to attend church, deemed it non-essential. Could you imagine if Jeremiah stopped drawing near to God because of circumstances around him? No. He drew closer to God. Again, God may not remove this pandemic as quickly as we want, but remember, His grace is sufficient. God may not remove the obstacle, but He will help you through it. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel. Romans 8, verses 35 through 39 read, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nor any virus either. Jerusalem was in ruins, yet God will restore what was broken. Friends, let God do a restoration in your life as well. He is the greatest fixer of all time. 2021 is here. Yes, a new year of restoration, a new year of sanctification, despite the circumstances all around us. Continue to grow in faith. Grow in the Word. Second point of application is, hear now, all peoples, behold my sorrow. As we look at Jeremiah's example, here's a man who did not hide his emotions. He wore his heart on his sleeve. Even though he was mocked, his grief ran deep, and he sincerely poured out his emotions to God. Part of lamenting is letting go of the pride. As part of our human psyche, we tend to close up. We don't want to project that anything is wrong in our lives, especially as Christians, that everything is all fine and dandy. You see, in order to become stronger, you need to look in the mirror. Acknowledge your weakness. Truly, there's things that each of us may be struggling with. Again, being a Christian doesn't mean that there are no valleys in our lives. Adversity may be a gift from God, and we just don't know it until we go through it. Friends, it's okay to stumble. It's okay to say, "I need Jesus. I need some divine support." It's okay to seek some encouragement or advice from your fellow Christian and brother and sister. Remember, it's our brokenness that brought us all together through Christ. Amen? Again, no one is perfect. No one is holy. Having a spiritual pride can be the worst kind of pride. You know, everything looks good on the outside, but on the inside, the soul may be crying. Maybe there's something you're struggling with and you're afraid to let it out. See, a lot of suicides come as a shock to loved ones or friends because the outward signs were not clearly visible, but kept hidden by pride. Jeremiah, his example, demonstrates to us to open up, pour out our hearts to God. Give Him your pain fully. Let Him bear your pain and help. Seek help from others as well. Another biblical figure, King David, he had everything the world offered him at the time. Yet, this is what he wrote. He wrote, "Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works." Psalm 73, 21 through 28. Again, we see another example of someone broken, his flesh and his heart fail. They fail God, yet he continues to search for guidance, continues to seek his mercy from Holy God. Remember, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let us all take the shield of pride down. Let us all open up to God. And even one another when we feel lonely or struggling with a sin or fear, anger, resentment, we are all part of God's royal family. Proverbs 27:17, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." Last two scripture verses are taken from the book of James. We'll be spending a lot of time in James this year. James 5, verse 16 reads, "Confess your trespasses to one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Last text taken from James chapter 4, verses 8 through 10 reads, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we are to thank you, Father, for your redemptive plan that breaks down the wall of separation between us and you through the shed blood of your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for another day that you have given us, Father. A day to look at you. A day to look up to you. A day to grow. A day to be salt in this world. A day to be a brighter light onto the darkness that continues to be around us. Father, I pray that there are a lot of open hearts and ears this morning, that despite the circumstances all around us, we can remain joyful. That we can know as your children, all things work together for you, for your good, and for those who love you, for those who seek you. Father, thank you for the gift of lamenting. Thank you for giving us a way to process our emotions in the valleys, in the tough times. And thank you, Father, for helping us through the valleys, through the tough times, through the circumstances. We thank you, Father. We thank you so much that you will never leave us nor forsake us, in good times nor bad. May this year bring glory to you. May our continued revival just honor you. Bring glory to your name and your name only. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.